The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. Hello, everyone. It's Monday, another week ahead of us of fun and games where we thought we could avoid FIFA news, but nope, that ain't going to happen. I'm James Shum. Craig Forrest is beginning to hate football.
No, you're not.
It's not the game. It's just all the noise.
Jimmy Brennan's here. It's JC. Wonga will jump in at some point. So we're going to get to the U20s and the controversy on Friday and the controversy on Sunday. If you're an American, we'll get to that. There's some good news. I mean, listen, Promise David is off to a flyer in Belgium. Scored in his last two games, one in the Champions League qualification, one in the Jupiter League.
I believe it's pronounced Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Saturn.
It might well be. I don't know.
I think it's Jupiter.
Jupiter?
Yeah.
There's so many great jokes there, you know. He's otherworldly. Jupiter, right? Get it? So there's some good stuff to get to. But we have to start. Let's start with U20, shall we? Because there's some positive in there as well. I think it's fair enough. So Canada, if you didn't watch the match on Friday, crashed out to Mexico. 2-1, but it wasn't without controversy, sadly. Leo McKenzie, who scored two goals in the quarterfinal, was brilliant, got a red card for two yellow cards in that semifinal against Mexico at the Azteca. Not quite the bubbling cauldron of passion that Craig, Jimmy, and Dubs perhaps are used to at the Azteca. But he goes off for a hand up, a little spin move, a lovely little tidy spin move, actually. Hand gets up, kind of brushes the Mexican defender's face and gets a second yellow card. Craig, you hate soccer, so I'll let you start here. I'll take the lead. Was this very much a case of being CONCACAF'd?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's an argument for that. I mean, you can't put a hand in somebody's face. We get this. We get that. It's the rule. But it's the embellishment around that. So It's, like I say, a glance across the face. He feels that, goes down like he's shot. I hope he's okay because it looked like from his point of view, it was a career fucking ender. But I really hope he's fine. But getting players sent off is just a masterclass. And it's what we've seen from, Mexico and other countries on a regular basis. And then we saw it against the Americans, almost the same sort of thing. Doesn't necessarily have to be contact against the American who clips it over the American player, but was there enough cover? That could be argued, and given a yellow card, but no, they gave a straight red. And again, it's not so much like if he's trying to jump over him and he's legitimately lost his balance, you could maybe make a case for it, but he doesn't. He makes no attempt to put his foot down and go to goal, if you like, and just blatantly brings up the attention of the referee, and sure enough, he's gone. More taunting after the fact that they do nothing about. That's another one, going right up to the Canadian player, waving at him like, see you later. Like, what? How does the referee not pull him over and book him for that? Like, what are we doing anymore? Like, it's just chaos, and this is what we've seen for decades, unfortunately.
And Jimmy, when you see a semifinal, quarterfinal at the Azteca, semifinal, and you want to see, the organizers really want to see the host nation in the final because, you got to fill that stadium, right?
Yeah, there's 50,000 or something, isn't there? Yeah. If Canada beat Mexico, because there was also, it was 1-0 Canada. And remember, they went to VAR for a potential penalty for Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
And they waved that off. Okay. That would have been 2-0 potentially for Canada, right?
Yeah.
Big decisions.
The McKenzie one really drove me nuts because
as he gets his arm out and he's turning, the players actually ran into his arm when you look at it. It's not like the player was already in position and were side by side with one another. The player is actually coming towards him and like gets a little brush and goes down. So for me, I didn't even think it was a foul just because of his movement was done on his own before the player even got there. And it was almost like the player is like just saw his hand up and ran into his hand. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm. Yeah, we're not side by
side here. You know, the players come in late.
And their ability to go deck like right away feels that come across his nose gets glanced and just to go down like he's absolutely dying. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, is there more to it, Dubs? Should we be suspicious here? Is it just one of those refereeing mistakes which we see all the time, which are just egregious, yes, but not perhaps anything untoward? Or is it like we've seen this too many times in these games?
We've seen this too many times, right? We would be naive to think that there wasn't more to it because it's happened over and over and over again to Canada versus a more established nation, it could be said, in CONCACAF, where it seems like for the gate, for optics, for whatever it is, that they're the team that needs to be in the final. And I know that's quite an accusation to levy, but when you look at these things happening over and over again, you would be silly or dumb to think that there wasn't something that's kind of been cooked behind the scenes. And to Jimmy's point on that one, he's already on a yellow. Hand to face, whether it's intentional or not, or you're running into it and like whatever the context is there, hand to face usually is a foul. But in that instance, is it a booking? It's 100% not a booking. So I think there you can find the middle ground. And I think most referees would have outside the context of a U20 kind of championship that way, where they want Mexico as the heavy hitters to move on. So, and there was some, I saw this tweet and it was somebody that I respect on Twitter. It says, the ability to get the opposition sent off is a generational talent. What a disgrace, and the taunting gets nothing. Some things never change. Oh, it was Craig Forrest.
Oh, yeah, right. And most people...
I was nearly going to copy-paste that and put it by the American one.
Yeah.
It's the same shit. Like, it's embellishment. Let's get it right. There's nothing more to it than embellishment.
Is it, though, rather than, you know, these referees getting together before a match with some officials and saying, "Oh, how can we make sure that Mexico progress here?" Is it more of a passive bias, do you think, that we kind of know, you know, listen, if it's a 50-50, yeah, maybe give the host nation the edge here. Is it that? Or is it something far more,
I don't know. I don't think scandalous. There's referees aren't being approached to do this. I mean, I think they just know what's going on. And they know that Mexico in the final of that is not going to be a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's a big hitter that kind of went in and saw them all and, hey, everybody, good luck. Wouldn't it be great to see Mexico in the final? Wink, wink.
Yeah. It's frustrating, but I mean, I don't know what the solution is. I mean, there's bigger fish to fry now. There's more, it seems.
Yeah, and there's more to it than just, I mean, Canada's qualified for the U20 World Cup. Fantastic. But a result against Mexico in the semifinal of that would have put Canada in the Olympic Games in 2028. So, like, back in 1994, when we got fucked over playing Mexico in the last game of the World Cup qualifiers, we were in second place, well, tied on points, but goal difference, so they only needed a draw. They sell 6 million fucking jerseys. We sell six. We bring nothing to the table in comparison. They needed them in the World Cup in 1994. And if we had beat them on that last day, which they did everything in their power to make sure we didn't, then we would have gone on and potentially, so either way, it had been Argentina and Diego Maradona out or Mexico out on that result alone. Had a German referee come over, never, and then the history, I never remember a foreign referee coming over in such a big match. It's always been CONCACAF referees. And then you get this situation where you got a World Cup or Olympic Games in Los Angeles, US, Mexico, perfect. Oh, now Americans are already in because they're hosting, but Mexico, perfect. That's going to sell massive amounts of seats. They'll fill the Coliseum or wherever they're playing.
Yeah.
So
I just want to say, before people accuse us of being conspiracy theorists and thinking that there's something insidious at work here, I think there's something to be said for being the established team in CONCACAF and having the history behind you. Like, I think Canada slowly in the men's game is chipping away at that, kind of flexing their muscles a little bit and challenging the heavy hitters or like the established teams like the US and certainly like Mexico, but is going to take a little bit more time before. And again, this sounds awful because it questions the integrity and the credibility of the game before we start to get those calls. And there's something to be said. People are like, well, you know, the players are fouling too much and they're playing this, you know, swarming, pressing, aggressive style under Jesse Marsh. And I love to see that identity being expressed by the U20 team because they're playing Jesse Marsh ball, but they're fouling a lot. So is that working against them? And then people are saying, well, Jesse Marsh isn't setting the example on the touchline because then he's getting booked. But after Jesse Marsh gets booked, all of a sudden Canada starts to get a little bit of calls and Canada starts to get a little bit of respect. So maybe that is a microcosm of what we're working against in the Confederation, that it shouldn't take this, but, you know, two consecutive World Cups for our men's team. The women continue to dominate in CONCACAF, and hopefully they will do in November, because that'll put them through to not only the World Cup next summer, but also to the Olympic Games. It's like a dual qualification there. And then you start to take up more space. So then, unfortunately, it does mean that then when you step onto the pitch and the game is in front of you and the opponent is in front of you and that referee is calling the game, then that respect bleeds over into the actual calls. And those things happen, and that, you know, McKenzie doesn't get sent off. And again, maybe I'll be accused of being naive, but I think it really is how we fit into the grand scheme of things in CONCACAF. And it's maybe not more than the gate or the amount of jerseys that we sell or the amount of money that we're able to generate for the Confederation, but it's part of it. It really is. And I think you'd be naive to think it's not part of it.
You could earn those calls, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And not just within that tournament.
And I'm not going to argue that Canada is better than the Mexican team, especially with the squad that they have, or the Americans. The Mexicans are the powerhouse. I think they've won at every level. U17, U20, they dominate CONCACAF. And they're fantastic football players. Don't get me wrong.
They don't need that, do they? They don't need to.
They don't. Yeah, they don't need to. They don't need to. They're brilliant.
I agree. And I think part of the problem, too, is I think as Canadian footballers, we're a little bit too honest. You know, it's not in our DNA to be flopping and rolling around all over the place like the Mexicans do. And
no, it's a cultural thing.
It's not us. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue.
That's the old argument though, isn't it? Right. Do you want to drop to those standards to compete and get the calls? Or do you take the high road and say, no, we're better than that. And we're prepared to lose matches and to suffer because we refuse to accept the way everyone else plays in the region. There's a naivety there as well. And I, as much as anyone, I despise the embellishment and the diving and that in various regions, not just CONCACAF, in various regions in the world, despise it. But when you see it over and over again.
It slipped into the Canada's national team as well, because, I mean, I got to admit, Gold Cup 2000 in the final, I mean, any of the games, I'm saying Carlo Corzi, and you get in the box with so many touches, get yourself on the fucking deck. Like, seriously, if you can't, you got to live by the sword, you're going to die by it. Well, like, hey, you want to play that game? Let's play that game. And it's unfortunate. It really is.
26 years ago, though, right? And they're still haven't got it down just yet.
Go back to the Los Angeles 84 Olympics when Canada scored, I think it was Gray scored against them, and that was called back, and no reason why that was called back. It goes on forever. And then back to the Mexican team, Liga MX is running that, so every single available U20 player is eligible and is going to be released to go play in this tournament. Canada's missing players because clubs don't have to release them. Americans are missing a whole bunch of players too, but down there they're making sure, which is great. I mean, from a point of view of them taking it seriously, but it's not a level playing field when it comes to picking players for our national team or even the Americans.
Yeah, that is a valid point for sure. We should mention that those didn't watch the match. So after that, Liam McKenzie red card, back the other way, come Mexico, they win a penalty, they score that penalty, they win the match. So that's just, we just, you know, piles more crap on the situation. Jimmy and I were on One Soccer on Saturday, and we spoke about this very briefly, but I want to get your opinions on it. So they do qualify for the men's U20 World Cup. Mm-hmm. They don't qualify for the Olympics. What would you rather qualify for? Now, Jimmy and Jordan were both effusive. No, it's a World Cup. They'd much rather qualify for the World Cup than the Olympics, U23. You agree, Craig?
I would agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. There's only 12 teams make it into the men's under 23, which it ends up. So here you got to qualify them. Basically, 19-year-old young men qualifying for Olympics for U23. It's just, in the men's game, it just really doesn't hold much weight, the Olympic Games. Not even close to what it does in the women's game.
Dubs, you have an Olympic tattoo. You're a little bit biased here.
Yeah.
I mean, very different for the women, obviously. Completely different tournament.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, if the men had qualified, and Forrest mentioned Los Angeles in 1984, that was the last time Canada appeared at a men's football event at an Olympics. So it's 44 years ago. So I think it's part of the build that's happening in this country. That I think I agree with Jimmy and Jordan and Forrest that obviously what you want to qualify for, you want Canada to be at the World Cup. That's the bigger tournament if you're comparing the two. But it would have been excellent to have both, right? Like, you want to be greedy when you're talking about development. You want to have everything. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask Forrest and Jimmy, because I don't really know. I've had the occasion to watch the men's Olympic competition in football. I did it in Beijing, and it was fabulous football. But how much do you think those final rosters for those 12 teams who are competing in men's football at the Olympics, how much do you think the final roster there will resemble the team that qualified those countries?
Yeah, good point. Good point. I'm not sure.
That's a problem too, right? There's a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, Messi won the Olympics. Messi won the Olympic Games and they're going to wait.
Yeah.
And they consider that not an international, full international tournament, which is true because it's U23, right?
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of footballers between 19 and 23, a lot of players playing at a high standard. You probably see very few of those 19s, 20s, I guess, playing.
Who knows? You can play overage players too once you qualify.
That's right. Yeah. You can have, what is it, two overage players you can have?
Two or three now, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Once you qualify, but you can't play in qualifying.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my only argument to the U20 World Cup being bigger is just the number of eyeballs watching the Olympics. That's massive, right? Huge audience. And quite honestly, outside us hardcore soccer fans, not that many people are watching the U20s.
Mm.
The average sports fan, that's not going to make the average, unless Canada goes on a deep run, which they might. You're not seeing that on the highlight reels in mainstream sports in this country. You're just not seeing it.
I would argue that the true football fan in the men's game, anyway, aren't too interested in the Olympic Games either.
Yeah, true. I guess I'm not. Now you mention it.
No. I'm not.
Yeah, it's true.
The better your country does on the world stage at these big competitions, so like the spillover for the support and the engagement that we saw for our men's national team during a home World Cup, I would argue that the eyeballs on the U20s for this championship in CONCACAF was much greater than it would have been otherwise. Yeah. So you keep that going, right? And then there is an audience for Olympic football because you're interested in the players and you know the players and you're following them actively.
Would Jesse coach that team as well, Olympic team? Of course he would.
Yeah, 100%. A couple weeks worth of stubble as well.
Yeah. Before long, Jesse's going to be coaching the women as well. Yeah. Anything Canadian is coaching. Like the World Cup hockey in a couple of years' time, Jesse Marsh behind the bench.
Yeah,
stay everything. Right now.
Volleyball.
Volleyball, yeah, why not? okay, moving on. Listen, so FIFA this morning woke up and another open letter, I think it is this time. Is that different from a statement, an open letter? Seems to be the same thing to me, but it seems a little bit less aggressive.
I think it's probably more to it, right? A statement would be a paragraph, maybe a couple. And then an open letter is, you know, that you're sitting down and you've got your cup of coffee and you're in for at least a 10 or 15 minute read, maybe, depending who you are. For Jimmy, everybody else, 3 or 4 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Jimmy.
Well, I like the way
it's all signed. It's signed by everybody.
Yeah.
And it both says love
it's
you.
Open to
and then it's signed off.
Love you.
XOXO Gossip Girl.
So UEFA, CONCACAF, and the Asian Federation, the AFC, have all got together and have responded to the most recent FIFA statement, only the FIFA didn't have any names associated with it. It was just FIFA. Whereas Victor Montaliani, Seferin, there's like 8 names in this open letter. And essentially, it's much of the same. It's criticizing the leadership of FIFA. And one thing I noticed in this one, actually, was how they mentioned they want to redistribute some of the money that FIFA has to its member associations. So that, to me, is the first sign of, listen, smaller nations, we know that Gianni Infantino and FIFA are offering you a lot of money, especially under this now defunct project. But we're going to give you lots of money as well if you side with us. There's more money coming your way. That's what it seems to me. That I found that the most interesting, because all the other language we've heard before, I think. But 136 members, I believe, will constitute UEFA, CONCACAF, and Asia. That's way more than the 106, I think, is the majority you need.
211.
Yeah.
Right.
Total. Yeah.
So if, Jimmy, if they all stick together and vote on block in March, whenever it is, if it gets that far, it does seem that would be enough to get Infantino out. Are you surprised by this united front from the three big federations?
No, not at all. I think when UEFA came out, I think CONCACAF knew that really UEFA is a big powerhouse. They agreed with them. They aligned with them. And Asia, no different. They were looking to see, okay, who's on the same page here and who's not happy with the situation. And for the three of them to come together, that's a majority right away. So Infantino, he's in trouble.
If they vote as a block, but we've already seen Mexico and individual countries.
Argentina.
Support, yeah. All the ones you would think that would support Infantino are pretty much the ones you'd guess.
No big surprises there.
I mean, if you had to pick any two.
Yeah.
But is this, Dubs, is this a huge deal today? Is it just more reinforcement of what we knew already?
I think it's both, but I think it's a big deal. And I think it's a response to that statement by FIFA where, you know, we won't accept any criticism and we won't accept being undermined. But your point about the money being distributed here is not bribery and it's not blackmail. It's just one man is taking credit for all of the work that we've been doing concertedly together, collaboratively. So he is not the czar or the king. You know, and then we bow to him. This has been the work of 211 member associations and the council and the executive committee, everybody together. And he's almost being offered a lifeline here, the opportunity to resign with a little bit of dignity if there's some left. And I was also reading Henry Winter was saying, because I was bemoaning the fact that given the way that the cycles are set up with FIFA, that it's the women's competitions that are on the docket next. So I guess UEFA, AFC, and CONCACAF have begun, this is according to Henry Winter on Twitter, they've begun preliminary discussions about the possibility of organizing competitions among themselves to ensure that players can continue to compete, such as the Women's Under 20 World Cup, which starts in less than a month, and it won't be impacted by everything that's surrounding Infantino.
Yeah.
Like, that's crucial. So you do that publicly. That's why you have the open letter. It's a call to action, and it's kind of like a shot across Infantino's bow, but it's also to say we will continue as normal because we represent 64% of your member associations, and this is our voice, and it's loud, and we are aligned.
Okay, now, last time we spoke on this very podcast, I asked you all, do you think he'll stick around till the vote? Do you still think he will? Dubs?
Yeah, well, at the moment, yes, I do.
You think he will? still.
Yeah, I think he's a different type of animal. I think he's going to fight right to the bitter end.
Dubs, you still think he will?
Unfortunately, yes, I do. I said so like a week ago. It feels like a month ago with the amount of shit that's come out. You know, that it was UEFA that covered the fact that when he was general secretary for them, that he had an affair, and then the mistress was promoted, you know, to a managerial position and was like business as usual for him, amongst other things that have continued to surface. And I think he will cling to the power. I really do think he will. And he will not go away gracefully.
Jimmy, you think you hear that one? I'm not sure. Regardless, do you think it's going to be around in the March?
Yeah, I can't. I can't see him walking away. No, I think he'll hang on for as long as he can.
Yeah, really. Unless there's like 90% of them, you know. I don't think there's. I think if he thinks there's a chance,
he'll hang around. He walks, man. I think he walks.
The Dumb and Dumber
one. Yeah,
so I do. So you're saying there's a chance.
Maybe if there's another open letter,
we'll add it up.
Yeah, there'll be another open letter for sure from FIFA coming pretty soon. Signed by some names, probably, including Mexico and Argentina and these powerhouses.
Do you think at any, sorry, Sharms, do you think there's any, at any point, do you think CONMEBOL and Africa, CAF, do you think that they come over to the quote unquote good side? Do they join forces with everybody else, or do you think that they will remain staunch in their support for Infantino?
I would say right now there's phone calls between CAF in particular and UEFA. Okay, so that paragraph in your open letter, when you said that you want to kind of, you know, look at the funds and perhaps redistribute them among the members, what does that look like? Mm. And so they should, right? So they should. The small nations, all this bullshit affects the small nations so much more than the bigger nations who have money. And by the way, we're a small nation here in Canada. I know Canada Soccer is waiting to see how this kind of what happens here. They're keeping very quiet at the moment. I'm sure at some point there'll be a statement. But right now they're being pretty quiet, just seeing what happens here at the top levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll be happy. Just, you know, say happy, but content with the leaders, CONCACAF, taking the horns on this, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to be very neutral, and I would think, over this. Until it's not.
what's football in a, out of the World Cup, what is the sentiment, do you think, around the world? Because the hope was that, oh, football's the best. It's great. This incredible tournament. Oh, no wonder it's number one sport in the world. I don't think it was that because of the crap that happened at the World Cup, at the top level, at the political level. But do you think that the hope was that, and then this is just, has this marred 2026? Has it just like pissed all over it? All the feels that we have from the World Cup, this is kind of like erase that. It seems a long time ago now that Spain lifted that trophy.
Yeah, maybe in some ways, it just so soon after the fact. I mean, the World Cup is going quite swimmingly, I thought, until Balogun and the American red card that was suspended, and then the political side of that when Trump made it public that he made phone calls to FIFA, and then it happens. I mean, that's government interference, and I think that's when things started to go sideways. And then as soon as the World Cup ends, poor final, I have to agree with that. And as soon as that ends, all this mess comes out right away. That there's deals behind that, trying to set Infantino up for a nice cushy job, making millions, looking after a private fund.
Yeah, terrible. I think when everybody's looking at it, and I think why these open letters and these organizations are coming together is because Infantino, you're elected to bring everybody together, to drive all nations forward. And now with his nonsense and what he's doing, and he's trying to rush things through, and people are going, hold on a minute. You're here to work with us, not tell us what to do. And then now you're dividing us. So really, you got to go. You have to go because you're not doing what you're meant to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Another paragraph in that letter was how, you know, the FIFA management, was it called the management group that met last week? And their statement came from that meeting. There was only one elected official at that meeting.
Yeah.
They're all employees of FIFA. How many groups and councils and committees are there at FIFA, by the way? Holy crap. I know it's a big organization. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, talk about bureaucracy. It could be a lot tighter, couldn't it? More efficient.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there seems to be little cliques that have formed, right? These little kind of not necessarily lapdogs, but like people who want to ingratiate themselves to Infantino and get the favors and get the publicity and all the perks of being attached to him. I think those are probably the ones that made up that meeting. But back to what you're saying about the World Cup, I think it was seen as an overwhelming success, minus a couple of things. And one was the FIFA Peace Prize, which happened at the draw. Too bad Wonger's not here because I heard he was at the draw. So that kicks off there. And like that's Infantino going rogue, right? Like nobody was consulted. Then you're at the World Cup and it started with the FIFA Club World Cup. And all these markets that still haven't been paid, by the way, the 11 host nations for the FIFA Club World Cup and then also the American host nations for the World Cup are still awaiting their $1 million from FIFA. But the over and overt commercialization of the World Cup via these hydration breaks, again, all Infantino. The disgusting political interference, as Forrest talked about with the Balogun Red that was suspended, that was Trump and Infantino in cahoots. And just the two of them, Infantino. So I think if you take Infantino out of the equation, then I think the World Cup is still seen as an overwhelming success, but it's minus that man whose pride and hubris got in the way. And then the indignation of that letter is like, how dare you criticize us? It's really, how dare you criticize me? Right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Ego. Right? From day one, ego's been the reason why this is just... grown into this monster that it is. I had a dream last night, and you may not believe this, but it's true. I don't know anything at the context of it, but I was in a player's tunnel, right, going out to something. But
Jimmy's like, that's hilarious.
I know that alone is hilarious. Maybe I was a mascot, Jimmy. Jesus, who knows? I maybe wasn't playing, right? Yeah. But behind you
take a wrong turn out of a bathroom.
Hey, I've played in charity games before. Walking out with a mascot. Right? They wheel me out. No, but Gianni Infantino is behind me in the tunnel. Oh. And I turn around and he gives me two kisses on the cheek, like a mafia don, like the kiss of death type thing. And I was like, what the hell was that? And that was a dream. That's all I remember.
Charms, else. I knew it was you. You broke my heart.
I missed the week of my daughter's wedding. Charms. It was a weird one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty weird. I hope that's all that happened. I can't remember.
Sopranos.
It all went black after that.
Yeah. It was nice, actually. It was a very wet kiss, if I remember, in the dream. That's one thing I remember. Really wet, like slobbery.
Oh, dear. You know?
It wasn't like in your face.
You had a very rough tongue.
Yeah.
Like a serpent he is.
Yeah. It was forked as well.
Yes. Oh, man. You know, I just hate to think this is not going to go away, this whole story, all week. It's going to grow and grow and grow. And it's probably going to grow and grow and grow till November 18th and beyond. So get ready. If you like your football politics, you're in for a ride the next few months. To hell with the games. Oh, man. Anything else you want to talk about?
Congratulations to Glasgow Celtics. They played two games in the league and won them both. So they've won the title. So congratulations. They won't be caught. It's over.
So cynical. So cynical. What's the latest on Alistair Johnston? Any rumors this weekend? It was Everton. It was also Palace, I think, were sniffing around as well, last I heard.
Yeah, nothing new, I don't think. I other than the fact, I mean, I know Palace and Everton are doing, there's some other deal going on today, but nothing to do with Alistair.
Oh, is it? Okay.
You wanted to talk about the form of promise to kick off the season. Yeah. I didn't mention it off the top, but yeah, good on him, man.
Good on
him. Great interview. Post-match interview too in the zone. Fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there any more news on him going?
No, it's gone quiet.
It has gone quiet.
Stuttgart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they want more money for him after the start of the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey. Fork up. Yeah.
I mean, listen, yeah, a lot of moves happen as the deadline ticks down and you score a couple of goals and you start your season off well and you're showing that you're healthy.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. I think they'll be getting calls.
You think it's time for a move for him, Jimmy? Is it time that Promise made a move to a bigger league?
Yeah. Nothing now's the time.
Yeah. Perfect time.
Perfect time. I'll tell you, another couple of games scoring goals, the phone's going to be ringing.
Maybe Stuttgart was just a little sprinkling a little, you know, transfer magic dust and say, listen, everyone, there's a team interested in this guy. You better get on that phone right now before he makes the move. Mm-hmm. Look, he scored in the Champions League qualification, scored in the first game. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a move coming for him. I really do.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, before Dubs goes, I want to mention this. This is great. We had a really, on Saturday's CPL broadcast, me and Jimmy, there was a delay. There's always a delay. Whenever I work there, there's a delay of some sort. There's a weather delay for what, almost an hour, right, Jimmy?
An hour, yeah.
So we had to fill for an hour. Now, thankfully, Ollie Platt, brilliant producer there, and on air as well, actually. Ollie's fantastic. We all know Ollie.
Yeah,
he had a segment for our post-match show, Match Night Live. He had a segment or two prepared. Best Canada 11 of all time. It's always fun, right? Just debate that. So he brought it forward to fill this hour long. And we could have gone on for 3 or 4 hours, right? It was a ton of fun. So we had a list of all the positions. It's a 4-3-3, all the positions, right? And we all got to vote, myself, Jordan, and Jimmy. And we had a consensus. And they built the all-time 11 for Canada, men's team. So let's go through it very quickly here, okay? So in goal...
I have to go.
Oh, you got
to
go. Yeah, go.
I've got to go as well, actually.
Oh, no. Teaser.
May as well.
We can't do this. Okay.
And I didn't want to jump, and then, like, somebody's audio goes to shit. So I was like, got to go, okay. Got to go.
Tell you what, that's a great teaser for Wednesday's show.
Yeah.
We'll get into it on Wednesday. It was great. It was great. And I want to get your thoughts on it. Right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Such enthusiasm. Can't wait for Wednesday.
It was great. I enjoy it. You'll probably see it. I'm assuming our boy Armin will have it all over social today. So anyway, listen, Dubs, Craig, thank you so much. Jimmy, as always, thank pleasure. You so much. JC. Wonga, he's there. I know he's there somewhere trying to get out of his computer.
Well, I'm using the main computer, and I think he was having some issues with the other one, so that's why.
He has the one computer per household, Roger's plan. That's the problem, I think, and his Wi-Fi. All right, everyone, listen, right. It's a short one. It's the depths of summer. We're doing the best we can. There's a lot to get to, obviously. We'll continue. We're back on Wednesday. Hope you enjoyed that, everyone. Listen, BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Legendary.
Bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Man, Megan, awesome. Just dying for that 11 now. Yeah. Come on, guys.
Thanks for everything, guys. Talk to you.